Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. I feel like maybe an intervention is needed. This kind of feels like the Titans spiraling out of control at the end of last year. Jared's lost five in a row in the competition in Jared versus Joe. Stillman, what's going on? How are we doing?
Has it really been five? That is incredible.
Five in a row?
I mean, well, it's happening.
Is it, though?
Well, so here's what's happened. Carolina started asking questions about conspiracy theories that are true that she disagrees with, and then she just ends up picking Joe. Like, you know, the Will Levis mayonnaise thing, and I forget what this week's was, but she just keeps picking things that she disagrees with and then asks the question. And obviously, I've already had the take that I'm going to have, so then I have to defend the take because it's the right take. But that's just kind of how it is. But, Joe, I saw you looking on the stream earlier today looking skinny.
Yeah? Okay. Thanks.
It's a PhD weight loss, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, hair's looking good.
Black is a slimming color, yeah. As you know, Jared. It's a good color for you and I to wear.
So, Jared, you were in the locker room yesterday. A lot of talk yesterday, both from Carthon and Vrabel, about the kicking position. What has this entire process, Jared, told you about the way the Titans view kicker, and how much do you think this could come back to bite them this season?
So, I was really, really exciting yesterday when Rand Carthon was up there and they talked about developing Cade York. And, you know, talked about how it's just like any other position, right? Like outside linebacker or, you know, offensive guard. And he said that, and I'm like, well, okay, you know, that sounds nice. But at the same time, like, you know, you can play multiple outside backers in a game. Or, you know, in one game, if somebody goes down, which is more likely at, say, one of the outside linebacker spots than the kicker spot, then Caleb Murphy, who might be inactive for most of the season, he can get called up. Plus, Caleb Murphy's going to be practicing every day, whether it's, you know, on the show team or in the individual drills. You know, he'll be on the field playing football in some capacity, whereas, like, you know, other than just kicking the ball, I don't know, like, what the kicker, what Cade York's going to do. And then when they have, like, those big drills, like the two-minute drill, I mean, they're going to bring Nick Folk out to probably kick those in practice. So how do you develop a kicker? And I asked Rand Carthon that question, and Rand Carthon said he didn't know. But that we should all watch how Craig Aukerman coaches them.
I did notice that.
I was sitting next to Joe, and I wanted to be like, ah! And then I said to Rand, I was like, so it's on Aukerman for his development. Rand went from one answer being, I have no idea how to develop a kicker, too. Well, it's on all of us to develop the kicker. I just wanted to look at Joe and say, ah!
You know what I hope is that I hope Nick Folk is like, or no, yeah, because we're going to Cade York. I hope Cade York becomes a kicker, and then he's like, you know, 37 for 38 next season or something. And I promise you, I will never say a single word about Craig Aukerman's coaching being why he's 37 for 38. You can't have it both ways.
What did I promise you in the locker room yesterday?
That you'd get everybody's autograph? I forget.
No, Joe.
Trying to take selfies.
Trying
to take selfies with people.
Yeah, I promised it.
That you would give Aukerman the credit, which
yes.
is stupid. Right, it's dumb. It's dumb to blame him for kickers missing field goals. It's dumb to credit him for kickers making field goals. Very simple.
So then what is the special teams coach's job?
Return? Yeah, you're setting.
No, I was told I wasn't allowed to blame him for that last year because one of the guys that got fired last year, he was the guy in charge of the returning.
Look, I think any operational special teams stuff, all of that stuff is totally fair game. And I think evaluating the kickers, who they're bringing in and all that, I think that certainly he has a piece of that. How would he not?
Which Rand said yesterday.
Yeah. So, like, that's all fine. I'm just, when it comes down to the very delicate skill, every single one of these kickers who comes in this league, well, it's like every quarterback too, right? They have all the ability to be great. And there's just not a coach, and I understand now I'm going to say this, and if I'm going to include quarterbacks, then that's different, right? I mean, I think we'd all agree, like, Brian Daboll probably had something to do with it. But quarterback coaching is so – special teams coach, what do you do? Like, hey, man, like, I'd say the sports psychologist, maybe.
Swing like, that leg a little
good
quicker.
Sports psychologist? What's that?
Swing that leg a little quicker.
Yeah,
man.
Like, I mean, it's just like you either have the mental fortitude to have that consistent muscle memory or you don't. There's no special teams coach that's ever been able, in my opinion, to either make it happen or make it not happen.
Well, I guess the Bears' special teams coach might be better than your special teams coach because they got Cairo Santos
maybe
to kick the ball. So, I mean,
sure. Who is that? Who is that? Why isn't that person? Why isn't that person getting a raise and a promotion? Why isn't that person a head coach? I have no idea who it is.
We're going in circles here when it comes to this. Like, you know, is it the coach? Is it not the coach? Is it the coach?
It's not circles. It's a very simple thing that you should recognize.
I feel like we should ask a coach. Like, we should ask a coach.
You got 4 hours, man. I'd rather hear you do that than bloviate for four straight hours. Do that.
Well, today's college football day. But,
oh, okay.
I mean, you know, it's the idea. I think we should ask a coach. How much does the special teams coach matter for the field goal?
Ackerman will be available next week. Ask him.
Well, I'm talking about asking a coach who doesn't have skin in the game on this.
Okay.
Yeah, just an honest opinion for somebody that can give you an objective thought.
Sounds great.
Although I wonder what Ackerman would say to that, right? Like, does he get up there and say, nope, not my problem? Because it's like, oh, boy, that's a real slippery slope.
I don't know. I'd actually enjoy the exchange. Hey, real quick, so did you coming in this morning, you're messing with our headphones, but I looked at the text line, and I did not hear this, but what were you just calling out, like, homers in Nashville media or something? There's a whole bunch of reaction to Nashville media homers.
Why would you say that?
Because I saw it on the text line. There was, like, a bunch of texts in a row talking about who you think is a homer.
So what I did yesterday is kind of similar to Paul. I yesterday was talking – somebody texted into the text line and said that the media is not hard on the coaches except for me kind of thing.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, I don't think that's
someone,
true.
Yeah, someone, yeah. Your
like,
freaking burner phone texted yourself. Good job.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think that – you know, you should feel honored because I was like, I don't think that that's really true. I was like, I think that, you know – I don't think that Joe is placating the coach. I don't think TD is placating the coach. I don't think Paul is, you know, trying to kiss ass. I don't think any of that. I was like, you know, I think there's probably, you know, four people.
Four? Oh, say, you got four? Exactly.
So I said, four. I think there's probably four that, you know, play a little patty cake and are friends with the coach, and I'm not going to name them. And then I told the story about when you.
That's why there were four names on all these texts.
and that's why I told the story about when Paul was in for Robbie, and Paul was like, you were demanding Paul name names, and Paul wouldn't name names. And I texted you, and I said, tell Paul, he says I'm a coward for not going in the locker room, but he won't name the names. And then Paul got all worked up. But part of me inside was so happy. And I think it's because Paul had talked so much trash about the station for so long that when Paul said, he was like, I'm on the radio and I'd like to be on the radio more. So I don't think it's advantageous to me to name names. Like a part of me just, it was like a birthday present. Like I was just so excited when Paul said that. So I kind of told that story, and then, you know, people, of course, wanted to guess the four, and I said, well, I'm going to name the four because I don't feel like I have to, so I didn't. So, yeah.
Jared Stillman,
I am intrigued.
Is with us here on the program. Jared, what's your take on the Kyle Phillips situation? There are Titans fans that we've heard from that are just done with Kyle Phillips and are out on him, and, I mean, my take is obviously Vrabel and the coaches like him and think he's got ability. He's not been able to stay healthy to this point, and he will be out the first four games of this season. How do you view the Kyle Phillips situation? And if you're Vrabel and the Titans, it's hard to count on him at this point based on the injuries that he sustained. Where do you see this all going with Phillips?
I think the problem with Kyle Phillips and the expectations are that for 2 years there's been a morning show for 3 hours that talks about Kyle Phillips all the time and acts as if he's like a integral part of what this Titans offense does.
It's like kind of like we talk about Jared 70% of the time. Yeah, that's a really good stat. Sex Panther. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like I tune into this show and you guys are always talking about Kyle Phillips. Like,
totally.
We were talking the other day about Dylan Radins being the starting left tackle.
Right. I did hear that. My initial my feeling towards Kyle Phillips, the entire training camp, preseason, everything was like, All right, like, let's get to the season. Like, I'm not going to count on Kyle Phillips, but, I mean, I do think that he's got a role, like, if he's on the team. And I was kind of hopeful to see if he had gotten the gips out of him on the punt returning. I was expecting that he would not, but I wanted to see if he had. Because, you know, Vrabel said that they wanted to, he told Rand Carthon to get them some returners, and then he did not get them a returner. So I was kind of excited to see that, but it wasn't like anything more of, okay, Hopkins, Burks, Okonkwo, Henry, Phillips. And that's what this show was doing over and over and over and over again. So when Kyle Phillips got hurt, like, it didn't change anything for me. It's like, okay, so somebody else will play the slot and somebody else will return punts. But, I mean, I feel personally like you guys, and I'm really more referring to Joe, but you guys were treating Kyle Phillips like he was part of the varsity team with Chig Okonkwo and Derrick Henry, and he was not.
Well, I we don't talk about him that much, but I do think, I absolutely think Kyle Phillips is an important part of the offense. Important, like, three catches for 32 yards in a given week, but two of them are for first downs on, like, third and six. That's what he
Chris
is.
Chris Moore is an important part of the offense?
I think important, no. I think with Kyle Phillips out, he's the guy who plays more, I think. So, no, important, no. But Kyle Phillips is more important to Chris than Chris Moore, in my opinion, if he's healthy and fine. Because he fills a specific role that, and he has a specific skill set that no one else has in the receiver room. That's the only reason he's here. It's why he's here. And I think he's actually could be an effective punt returner, too. He may be unable to stay healthy. It may flame out. But I absolutely think he's that good. But real quick, Jared, a couple things, because someone –
am I not allowed to respond?
Okay, Jared, give us your take.
I think he's as important to the offense as Josh Wiley is.
Okay, great. Good take. Okay, so Joel says, ask Jared how he knows Carthon is going to blame Vrabel for the roster if things go bad. Lots of projecting from one sentence by Stillman. I missed this one.
So yesterday, Rand was, I think he was asked about his first experience of building the 53. In fact, Nick, I think I cut it yesterday, and it was I think I left it as like, I think it was like corroboration and undefeated. And so Rand is asked about his first experience as the general manager. And he was talking about how great it was to build this roster and how he and Mike Vrabel did it together and how he got with the coaches and, you know, that he leaned on them and it was a great process. And I mean, it was a very typical coach speak answer. It was very good. And then he could have just put a period there, but he didn't. He said, but right now we're undefeated. So if we lose three games in a row, maybe I'll talk to you then, and it might be a little different. And I heard that, and I was like, oh, he said the quiet part out loud, which is, I mean, look, I think that what Rand Carthon's done, and I think going over the kicker, when he talked about how, you know, we, our personnel department came up with a list, and we went to Coach Aukerman, and we were like, which guys do you think you want to work with? I think Rand is playing the game perfectly from the standpoint of, you know, Vrabel probably, you know, wants things his way, which is how he is about everything, which is why now people sit down for the press conferences outside instead of standing around him. But that Rand's probably saying, you know, like, hey, if things go great, good. Everybody wins. Everybody gets extensions. Everybody gets more money if the team wins. If the team loses, and you all know how this works because you guys know coaches and you guys know that no coach has ever been fired and said, yeah, the problem was I'm just not a very good coach. It's always, oh, our running back broke his hand and then a new GM came in and he was, is that if things don't go well, Rand has, I think, effectively positioned himself to say it's his fault. He's the one, you know, I just collaborated with him. I asked him which players we wanted. I gave him a list of guys. He said, okay, we want this guy, this guy, this guy. Now, you know, I didn't necessarily want that guy, but we're trying to build this together. Him. And I think it's brilliant.
Okay. I forgot to ask you this quickly here.
Do you think that that's right or wrong?
No, I mean, it's goofy, but it's a goofy.
If things don't go well, you think Rand Carthon's going to say, not blame both of us equally?
No. I think that you're taking, again, you're taking something and you're just blowing it up into something that isn't. I don't disagree with the general idea. This is what happens. If things go wrong, then the GM coach, whatever the arrangement is, there's going to be some level of, yeah, it's his fault. I mean, that's natural. But The thing that
Lane Kiffin fired his dad.
The thing that you said this week, Jared, that then you tried to walk back in the middle of losing again to me, is this Vrabel's arrogance take you had.
I didn't walk it back.
Oh, you did. Oh, Robbie,
did you listen to Jared versus Joe this week?
I did.
We'll play it next segment. It was pathetic.
I think Vrabel's internal arrogance makes him think that his guy is going to be better than
you initially said that Vrabel, his arrogance is overwhelming. In other words, he's going with guys because he picked them. That's what you said.
Well, he thinks he's better.
Wow. But that's different than just he thinks someone's better.
I don't think it's a conscious choice of like, okay, I'm going to pick my guy that I am going to make. I told you this during Jerry versus Joe. I said it's a subconscious thing that Vrabel values his guys more.
Right.
Because in his head, he's like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's better. Like in Vrabel, they kept all the draft choices. We picked them.
So a coach should be like, you know, I think that guy's better, but I'm going to be humble and pick the other guy. I mean, come on. We don't have time for you to respond.
I take the L. I stand by what I say about, and I can't wait till Will Levis is the backup quarterback that first game, and I'd say, on the pregame show, and Chris and Derek are going to look at me like, why are you laughing so hard? And I'm like, that's not really for you. That's for Joe and Caroline.
Jared, hop in the film room. Let's see if we can end this losing streak next week. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I'm on my way to Atlanta, Georgia to go root on the Cards in what Chad Withrow says is the ninth best college football game of the week.
There we go.
On what is a very bad schedule, by the way, for week one.
It's not great. Very exciting. Jared, we'll talk to you next week.
By the way, what did Joe do to get Vol Twitter mad at him?
Dude, we don't have time for this, Jared.
You have plenty of time. What did he do?
I can't even explain it. Read the column.
They were mad that he thinks that Josh Heupel's not winning the national title.
Is that really what it is?
That's a short version.
That's pretty good, a bridge version.
Wow. Enjoy, guys.
Thank you, Jared. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll take in your thoughts on the Titans. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Tony. Tony, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for hanging with us.
Morning, guys. Thanks. Might be going back in conversation a little bit, but kicked in college, bounced around the league for a couple of years as a kicker and punter. Thought the conversation earlier was interesting, and I'm not sure Jared's still listening in, but my comparison would be you have your offensive, defensive, and special teams coordinators, right? And take the offensive side of the ball, for example. He's calling the plays and responsible for that. But the actual technique, individual position development really falls on the quarterback coach for the quarterback, right? That would be my comparison that's equivalent to the special team side of the ball. I think Joe made the comment, and I agree with him, that schematically that's what the special teams coordinator is responsible for. Ultimately, everything that deals with the units, but – you know, as most people know, the kicking punting position is arguably shouldn't be in football. It's completely different, right, than every other athlete on the field. And unless you have somebody like a golf swing coach that can actually understand the techniques of the position, that special teams coach or coordinator isn't going to be able to help that individual very much. And then you take in the X factors that are hard to judge, what's between the ears, you know, when the game bullets are flying and the lights are on.
Yep, thanks for the call, Tony. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right again. Jared wrong again. That's exactly – Jared doesn't need to call anybody. Wait, hold on. Is Tony still on the line?
He's not.
Okay. Did he say bounce around the league?
That's what he said.
I want to ask him his last name.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony?
Tony,
Texas.
Let us know who you are.
615-737-1025. Text us. What was going on there? That's good analysis there by Tony.
But,
I appreciate it.
I mean, I think that's exactly what – that's how I've looked at it, right? I mean, what about you? And that's – I mean,
that's the thing. Like, there is a – most every team has a quarterback coach. Every team has a wide receiver coach. I don't know how many teams have some guy out there going through kicking form with the, you know.
I mean, of course, the Titans they've had Will Hoyt.
They've had Will Hoyt for a while.
Had your guy Will Hoyt here. So they've tried that. And that would be more, okay, so you're specifically looking at that person and technique and all that stuff.
Right.
Again, like if you're getting to this level, you know how to do it, right? You can do it. I think it's more mental than anything.
Well, and Cade York has got all the physical ability in the world, right? Like he's, you know, back at LSU, line him up for 60-yarder. He'll give you a shot there. He's got the leg, but what is that going to translate to? Is it going to translate into anything? That's, you know, we'll see if he's got what it takes on the practice squad for the Titans to elevate him at some point this year, or, you know, down the road heading into next year, is the plan for Cade York to be the kicker? We'll have to wait and see on that front. But I know this, a lot of talk about kicking this week. I think I've reached my quota.
But we have moved off backup quarterback.
We have.
So, I mean, we're talking about people who are going to actually affect the outcome of football games coming up for the Titans.
We have.
That's progress.
That is very good progress. Coming up next, we'll get into a little bit deeper into the Mike Vrabel conversation. You brought up something at the end of the conversation with Jared there that I want to get into. We'll take people's thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks here on 102.5 The Game. You can sign up today for your chance to win weekly prizes. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as week one of college football kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 745, Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock, and the season opening edition of Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. So looking forward to that.
I need to answer Ethan from Lawrenceburg real fast. Okay. Is Jared the same person in real life as he is in his radio life?
Yes.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
I do too, except if I'm like just like sitting somewhere or something and he comes up and I'm just trying to do something and he's like, okay, I need your sports takes about four different things, and here's my sports takes about this. Like, Jared, watch a romantic comedy.
Yeah, do that.
Go, you know, play golf.
I'd love to see that.
Like, Jared is, he absolutely lives sports takes.
That's why he's good at his job.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's very good at his job.
Yeah. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
You know what my favorite part of that whole segment was? Was when Jared said, all right, here's my take, and Joe goes, yeah, good take.
that's good take, best. Jared.
Yeah, so, right, sometimes so here, you just have to cast them aside.
What I think has happened with you guys, have you ever heard somebody do something and you start making fun of it, and before too long you're doing the same thing? Like, my example was I used to know a guy who'd say my guy all the time, and I would always make fun of him, and then next thing you know, I'm saying my guy. I accidentally, and now I do it.
Just picked up on it.
Same thing. I think you started out like bagging on Jared because it's kind of, I mean, it's good radio. I listen to the Jared versus Joe segment all the time. I think it's good radio, but then after a while, you're like, you know what? This guy. So I think it naturally, like, you guys are enemies, whether you want to be or not. So, but it does make for really good radio. One little thing on the kicker, man. You guys are right. It is so boring. You have to think about something else. He's going to kick extra points. That's it. Like, if it's anything over 45, we probably shouldn't be kicking it anyway. We should probably be the team that goes for it on fourth the most than anybody.
I like it.
But there's nothing wrong with that either, man. It's better football anyway.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. I thought Adam was about to say you're becoming Jared, and I was about to go off on Adam. But, yeah, he has a point there.
By the way, Jared says no golf for him. He goes on the lake, and lake season is almost over, which means more take season.
More sports, baby. More film room. So, speaking of Jared, I did want to get into something on I think an interesting contrast this week.
Okay.
We always talk about how the Titans are disrespected nationally and more respected locally, right?
Sure.
Which, by the way, as I've pointed out, Austin Mock at the Athletics has the Titans at 8.6 wins in his models.
Get excited.
And I saw somebody else who picked the Titans to make the playoffs. It's not all.
I think Greg Rosenthal picked them to win the division. I saw that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not quite. But still, that's a thing for sure. Here's a thing that at least this week, and this is Jared adjacent, at least. Well, that's more than Jared adjacent. I mean, Jared, this whole arrogant thing with Vrabel, which again, if you're saying, okay, Vrabel's arrogant, and so he thinks, like, who he thinks is good, like he's going to go with that. I mean, first of all, I don't think that's arrogance. I think that's confidence. And if you don't think that your evaluation is good, then what are you doing, right?
Right.
What he was initially saying, though, was that guys were kept on the team because he picked them. So it's like, well, this is my pick, so we're going to go with that. The way I took it was whether you believe they're actually better or not. Regardless, that, I mean, there's a lot of, even on the text line, I mean, especially after a loss, but people complain about Vrabel being prickly at pressers or whatever, stuff like that, right? This week we had on this program Charles Robinson talking about Vrabel and what if he was somewhere else, how much more, I guess, acclaim or more, you know, respect, I guess, that he would have league-wide if he was in a more, you know, a high-profile job.
He talked about if he's in New York or Chicago, somewhere like that.
Which is interesting. Now, we've also had the whole, what if he was dealing with the media in those places?
Right.
Which I think is overblown. But then I get to, I would highly recommend this for anyone. At the Ringer by Kevin Clark. Kevin Clark's really good, and he was here during camp. He wrote a great piece about Vrabel, and I think it's not like any of these ideas are new or haven't been written by other people like in this market and stuff, but he just did a really good job of laying out Vrabel's method for coaching and sort of the balance he strikes of like he, as we've talked about, like on the practice field, it is everybody is in the line of fire, and it is creative and hilarious, and it is, I mean, it's, he does not hold back on anyone, but also the actual relationships he has with these guys and why they want to play for him. And I mean, I think it's really successful, and it's obviously impressive, and it's there's some stuff, you know, that's the side of him that people don't see, which obviously, like, you're not going to be this successful if you don't have that. But it's interesting to me that this week we have it's actually a little bit more local. And it's not just this week, but this week it strikes me we have that, and then we have the sort of the national love for Vrabel.
Yeah, it is interesting.
So like, what's right? What's true?
Well, look, here's what I'll say. I think, especially when you start talking about high level professional sports, I think there's a certain level of arrogance, cockiness, whatever you want to call it, that you gotta have.
There is ego, of course.
I mean, it's naturally embedded into the job. I mean, look, Tom Brady, in my opinion, is clearly the greatest quarterback of all time. You can't tell me there's not some arrogance there with Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers oozes arrogance, right? I mean, there's natural.
Now you say it.
Well, I mean, I would have said that before, but I know
I'm messing with you.
Yeah, but
you
like
said it many times before.
But it's, I think there's some of that that just is naturally there, and you know, some of it is you're just as confident as you can be. Now, in terms of decision-making, in terms of, you know, making roster decisions and finalizing 53-man rosters, all those things, you know, how much has that crept into it with Vrabel? I have no idea. Like, I did see Titans fans when the 53-man came out said, oh, all the draft picks made it, huh? The year that Vrabel is supposedly more involved with the draft picks, all the draft picks have made it. That's interesting. So, you know, I don't know if I buy into that or not. I think the arrogance part of thing gets overblown because I think in professional sports that is embedded into what is required to get there.
Right. And then there's – yeah, for sure. And then, look, there is – and this is where, again, I think if everybody could – and I don't like the Titans do, like they sometimes have like behind-the-scenes stuff, and like Vrabel's been mic'd up at games.
Yeah.
Whatever he's mic'd up for games, that's hilarious.
It's awesome.
Like, there's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
But I think if fans could like just get a practice, And just because if the Titans do something like that, the F-bomb stuff is out.
It's not staying in there.
It's the best stuff.
They really need him on Hard Knocks.
But, I mean, like, just to go to this piece from Kevin Clark, he got some good stuff. He leads with, like, Ben Jones waking up on his Peloton, and Vrabel had a message for him, beat that fat boy, you know. And we, like, again, you saw, like, Vrabel, and he talked about this kind of tearfully last year when Ben Jones came out the field, and he shouldn't even be on the field at all. But here's a quote from Rodney Harrison, okay, who obviously was a Vrabel teammate, star with him. He said, quote, "You always have to make sure you're on top of your game because he's a bleep hole," Harrison said. "He's a good bleep hole. I love him. He's one of the best bleep holes I know." I don't know if – I guess that's the best way to do it, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's a great quote, but it's also – it's like, look, man, it works. And the thing is, you know – like, you talk to assistant coaches and stuff, and I'm working on a story on one of them, so, like, I just had this conversation about Vrabel. But, you know, it's like, oh, great, you work for the guy, and you think he's awesome.
Right.
Oh, well, super duper, you know? I mean, of course, and everybody's like, well, I don't want to kiss his butt, but, like, the bottom line is, and this goes back to, like, first year, people like playing and working for him. So that is a contrast to what comes across with media, and also then it goes to fans, because that's what we are. We're a conduit to fans, where sometimes he's very jerky.
Well, and I also think there's a big difference. Like Belichick, right? People love working for Belichick. Everybody always has great things to say about Belichick. You know, with the media, he's always been it's been hard to watch at times. Now, you know, Vrabel's not that bad with the media. Like but after a loss, there's no question he would rather be anywhere else than in that press conference. And, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily abnormal, but I do think there's a difference in that and then actually working for him and playing for him in the building.
Right. And look, I mean, there are coaches who just, I mean, like, okay, Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Gives you these super detailed answers, and he's a super nice guy.
Mike Mularkey.
Yeah.
The coach before he was
now,
here.
Now, Mike Mularkey was sensitive and, you know, got into the whole, you don't know what you're looking at, and all that crap. But, yeah, I mean.
It was different.
He was more, I mean, all these guys think that, like, you don't know what you're looking at, you know. And it's like, well, yeah, but see, you have information you could tell us if you wanted to.
Right.
So, it's up to you. And some people do. Like, I think, like, guys like McVay, like, they're really, quote, unquote, good with media. But it doesn't necessarily translate. Now, I think they're both good at their jobs, too. Like, I think Reich's a good coach. Also, I think people like playing for him, too. Usually, I guess there's a correlation, but you can also – there's also – okay, we just looked at the college football game last night, Nebraska-Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
The Flexter, very good with media.
He is. Yeah.
Now, look, he's an effective coach, too. I mean, he's won. He's won at Minnesota more than most people do, but – sometimes there's a little bit of, like, self-promotion media stuff that maybe doesn't speak to what it's like behind the scenes.
He's in the Shane Beamer school of goobery at PJ Fleck.
Man. This all – I mean, it all comes back to you ripping Shane Beamer.
That's what I'm here for.
God.
We're going to get into a little bit more of that coming up a little bit later in the show today. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you've already got it set up.
Already got
it
circled.
Pigskin, pick them.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Very quick programming announcement that I want to make you aware of. Monday is Labor Day. We will be having a show on Monday, but it's going to be a little bit later. We'll be 9 to 12. So Joe and I will be on 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Monday. So just keep that in mind. ESPN Radio going to be on in our normal spot, and Joe and I taking over 9 to 12. So Joe gets some of that beauty sleep on Monday. He's going to be ready to go. Looking forward to it.
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, that's going to be like sleeping in all day.
It really is.
The entire morning show will be here.
Yeah. Nick Keyes will be there, too. Get fired up.
Let's do it.
That's
right.
See
if we can get you calling some more shots.
Coming up next.
I'll call better ones.
I hope so. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We will do that coming up next. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6:30 on the road against Alabama. Pre-game beginning at 5:30. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph with Rocky Top in the background, fresh off a Big Orange Mac appearance earlier this morning. I turn things over to you.
Thank you. There's a lot of reaction, so I want to get to that. So this is going to be a pivoting rant, but... And I swear, you know, I'm not using my rants just to brag about Nolensville High victories in football. I swear, this is not just me humble bragging.
Undefeated.
Big win at McGavick. But I got to say, it's been an interesting year already for me in the world of PA announcing.
Okay? Public address announcing.
Thank you. Public address announcing, PA announcing. but I think last night was the all-timer, okay? So we're at McGavick, and you know we won 40-8, and I really enjoyed the McGavick fans. They had like the lights, they had the little like wristbands or whatever, lights, and they were rocking out 90s hip hop stuff. We were loving it on our side and the visiting side. It was great, you know, in between plays, stuff like that, you know. I mean, actually at one point, I mean, I can say it. Is he in school yet? I mean, young Rexroad started dancing around before a key third down to Taylor or no, what's the Miley Cyrus song?
Party in the USA.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Okay. But it was fun. It was good. So we get to like the fourth quarter and it's kind of, I think it was running clock, but there's still like probably 6 minutes left. Okay. And, like they just start playing a song during the game. It's blasting. Okay, you guys know this song. It's "Drift Away" by Clarence Carter.
Yeah.
Okay, give me the beat, boy, to free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll.
The balls in the air.
Away. I'm telling you, they just started playing it during the game, and like, don't watch the game. Give me the B-boys, free my soul. And then the guy starts singing it. So at first, some of the friends we were sitting with were like, what is happening? And then by the end, I'm like, I'm into this. Like, let's hear the whole song.
Just
this
leave
is
the
fantastic.
Mic on.
So I just want to shout out to the – I mean, it was weird. And it was. It was kind of like, you know, like something like times in NBA games, you know, like you just like play a song while they're playing.
Sure.
I have never seen that before in football.
I haven't
just
either.
We're jamming it. While football is being played in the field. So shout out to McGavick.
I mean, there's been a lot of great public addressing announcements or moments in this city.
Yes.
None more so than the Titans Cardinals a few years ago.
Guess who's coming back in the game, everybody?
Back in number 77, Taylor Lewan. He's given up 1,000 sacks today to Chandler Jones.
Everyone point your attention to 77. He's back.
The whole stadium boos.
Taylor's like, thanks, man.
Thank you.
The next week.
Back in there.
The next week when Lewan talked. He's like, yeah, and then the guy announced me coming back in the game. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'll never get over that moment, ever.
Well,
awesome.
And I think it was with Coffee County last year for one of our games, too. Like, the PA, and I think that's it. That's the – Coffee County is the – like
the pit?
Yeah, like it's like the freaking Coliseum.
Yeah.
The place is awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, that's a good stop by John Simmons. His daddy was so good in 1994. I mean, it was – I mean, there's some interesting stuff that goes on. And you know what? I like it. I'm here for the creativity. So we do have a lot of response. By the way, people like goobery from you, but
school of goobery.
And someone, you know, said like Jared is so arrogant he only plays his own questions and you know answers to his. You know, so you know it's very hypocritical of him. But Andrew says, I personally love Vrabel being sparky and mean to the media because they come off so entitled. All caps. Vrabel owes me an answer. Stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew. Again, this is our job. Who do we work for? I mean, we work for like different people who pay us.
Sure.
But, like, who do we actually work for?
We work for you, Andrew.
We work for you, Andrew. and you want to rip us. I will never understand that. Now, granted, the other side of that is ask a question. You know, it's like, when are you firing everybody? Well, okay, I'm not, you know, not rolling in here every day and saying, are you going to fire yourself? Because you need to be fired. I mean, you got to ask reasonable questions.
Do the Adam Vingan, Peter LaViolette routine. Or Peter, you worried about your job today?
Next question.
It was awesome.
How about today?
You think you're going to be
Next
fired?
Question.
But the thing is, yeah, he was Lavi. He was about to be fired.
He was.
So, yeah, the whole, again, like, we're not here getting answers for our own, like, satisfaction, you know? I mean, like we serve a purpose. Well, but to be fair, as I've often said, you know, whenever the aliens finally take over this planet, if they start, you know, judging people by their job and the value of society, like, we're so toast.
Yeah, we're last.
We're lasered immediately.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Yeah. So, but hey, we like the jobs.
We do.
Let us live.
We do. I mean, look.
What a weird segment.
I think Vrabel, there's a little bit of prickliness to him, right? Like, he can be a little rough around the edges. I don't know that I buy the letting that get in the way, like his arrogance or confidence or cockiness, whatever you want to call it, like that getting in the way of him making decisions for the team, right? Like, I just don't know that I buy that yet. And also, like, I don't know that I fully know. Like,
he wants to win.
He wants to win.
I mean, it's hard to win.
What is the conversation right now? And Carthon's talked about this a little bit, about how they don't always agree, right? And duh, like, you're not always going to agree on a player, on a situation. Like, how does that conversation go right now? Like, what does that conversation look like when Carthon and Vrabel do disagree? I'm sure there were players that have made the 53 where they weren't totally aligned, sure, on those players making the 53. How do those conversations go? And what does it look like in terms of the decision-making, who wins out, all those things? I'd love to know.
I'd be willing to bet, and I don't know this, anybody's told me this, but I'd be willing to bet that there are decisions that Carthon has and will make that Vrabel disagrees with, but they go Carthon's way. I do not believe that Vrabel, again, he's totally a delegator, which is a hard part, I think, of leadership, but I mean, I think we've even seen that some, like, this preseason, right? So, I think ultimately it's his call, but I bet you that there are decisions where there's a little bit of, like, okay, you get this one. It's my turn. I'm not saying that, or paper, rock, scissors, but I bet you it's a little bit more back and forth than you think. And again, this is where, like, it goes back to last preseason if we're going to do Jared, but Jared isn't alone in thinking things like this.
Yep.
This idea that, like, because they drafted Dylan Raines, well, you just have to keep him on the team. I keep watching guys get cut. I see Justin Murray got cut, but Dylan Raines isn't. Again, I'm not saying Dylan Raines is good. I'm not saying he's a starting-level player. But the idea that he's so bad, but they're only keeping him for their own ego, never going to win in this league if that's how you go about it. And I'm not saying it never happens, but people who win and are good can put ego aside and understand how hard it is to win and do everything they can think of to win, and I think that's the case here.
Joe, really quickly before we get to TD, because we've had some people asking about this on the text line, the ACC has voted to add Stanford, Cal, and SMU to the conference.
Yeah, college sports.
So
off its ass.
On the Atlantic Coast Conference, Stanford and Cal. Cal is a member of the Atlantic Coastal Conference.
I mean, it's
while they're on the Pacific Coast.
So dumb. The thing is, like, the Stanford Cal thing, and it's okay. Well, you have some great university. You have UVA and Duke and all that. And okay,
they're
well,
smart.
Sure. SMU.
Yeah, that one I don't get.
Let's also add the home of the greatest scandal in college sports history. That has nothing to do with
TV market
anything.
Over in Dallas. I don't know.
I don't.
It's like Rutgers going for the New York City TV market. It's worked out well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's all it's on it goes.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and some comments from Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel yesterday. All that's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.